Okay, we're looking at a piece of a larger teaching. The whole teaching is called concept. And in concept, a concept conceived brings conception. What we're looking at is, why did God do all of this? Why did God create the universe? Why did God create the earth? Why did God put man here? What's this all about? When I was at California Baptist College, there was a professor, and he went to the Magnolia Avenue Baptist Church. During one of the Sunday services, the pastor, in the middle of his sermon, collapsed. The deacons went up and got him, called the ambulance, and they hauled him out. The professor was sitting in the back of the church. He got up, went to the pulpit, and finished the pastor's sermon. So I asked him, "How did you do that?" And he said, "If you see the big picture, you can pull a piece out anytime you want." This was the piece where the pastor was speaking, and I knew that piece because I knew the whole thing. If you see the big picture, so when we're talking about concept, God is love. God has to fulfill his love. Love can't be love without the opportunity to not love, and so on and so forth. So this is a large teaching. This is a small piece of it called the seed. Okay? This will probably be one of the most important things that I have to teach you, to share with you. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That means everything that is here, God created. As a matter of fact, everything that's in heaven, God created. Even Lucifer was a creation of God. Created with free will, which was very important to God. Because love can't be love unless there's an opportunity to not love. In other words, you can't just go capture a wife and say, "Okay, you're my wife and you love me." Even if she would say 100 times a day, "I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you," it would be meaningless. But if there were other options and she chose to love you, she chose to love me, then that would be meaningful love. God has to have meaningful love. Love has to have an object. You can't just say, "I love." Love has to have an object. Love is self-sacrificial giving. And so God is giving of himself, and then we respond by loving him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. Okay, in Genesis 1:29, and God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it shall be for food." Okay, now you'll notice the word humility. Our word humility comes from the word humus, which is dirt. Okay, God made man out of dirt. Okay, out of the dust of the earth. And he breathed, and man became a living soul. Okay, so if we're made out of dirt, it says there's every herb is good for food. How do we feed our bodies? It's important. How do we feed our bodies? Our bodies are made out of dirt, right? What do we feed it? We feed our bodies dirt, right? Can you think of any food on the earth other than manna that came from heaven that isn't made from dirt? Ask the farmers. It all comes from dirt. But how can you get dirt taste so good? Janie fixed a real good supper tonight, and all of it came from dirt. It was really delicious. What changes dirt into good food? It's the seed. It's the seed that makes the difference. Okay. Now, you're born from above. There's a seed that leaves heaven and goes inside of you. The Spirit of Christ goes inside of you. And that's what changes you. You become a new creation in Christ. Now, what do you feed your spirit? What do you feed the seed? You have to feed the seed spirit. The Word of God, praying in the Spirit, loving one another, and we can go on and on and on. I mean, that's many, many studies there. But if you're going to feed your body dirt, then you have to feed your spirit spirit. Amen? So that's what we're looking at. I've just given you from Genesis to Revelation. You have the whole thing. Amen? Let's go home. Okay. Matthew 18:4. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So everything we're going to be talking about here has to do with the kingdom of heaven, which started with the coming of Christ. Okay? Genesis 3:19. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Okay, so that we're talking about the natural physical body. Okay, now, we're born from above, and where are we going back to? Back to above. Amen? And it's all, either direction, it's all about the seed. Okay? John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Most of us experience that every day as we spend quiet time with the Lord. We're reading our Bibles. We lay our Bibles down and visit with the Lord, and He talks to us. So both from the Bible and from the Holy Spirit, we're being fed every day. If I'm not fed every day, I start getting weak. Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Man became a living being. Romans 8:9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, that's the seed. If the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, which is referring there to being born again. And I realize, sometimes we get around people and they say, you talk to them about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and they say, well, of course I have the baptism in the Holy Spirit because the Scripture says, and they'll quote the Scripture. And what I do is I tell them, okay, quote it again. Now quote it again. Now, and after a while it dawns on them. It's not saying the Holy Spirit. Doesn't say if you don't have the baptism in the Holy Spirit, you're none of His. It says if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. The little children always get it right. Jesus came into my heart. That's the seed. Jesus came into my heart. Okay, Genesis 3:14-15. So God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you're cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between, what's it say, your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. That's the gospel. Okay? So you have two seeds. You have a good seed and a bad seed. And these seeds are going to be in conflict with each other all the way through until the bad seed is put away forever. Okay? But understand this. Why are evil people on the earth? It is very important to God that there be evil people on the earth. Sounds strange, doesn't it? But let's say that you joined a fitness program and you went to a gym and you were paying, I don't know what they pay, $20 a month, yeah, $25 a month. What if you showed up and there were no weights, no machines, nothing? What if they just had a book for you to read? Now you read this book and you'll be... No, God on purpose created attention. There has to be attention for us to develop as God wants us to develop. He is making overcomers. Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, he's making overcomers. You can't be an overcomer unless there's something to come over. There has to be something that's against us. And so, now I want to go back, because I want to say, God created it all. So what is the victory? There's no reason to study any of this unless you know why you're studying it. This whole thing is God's battle. So often we try to fight these battles. It's not our battle. It's God's creation against God's creation. It's God winning out over evil. Good will win over evil. Of course, we know that. We read the back of the book. But there has to be the tension for the development. As you, most of you have opportunity to minister to other people. You have people with addictions. You have people with all kind of problems and sin in their life. How am I going to overcome sin? Well, if you go to many of the churches today, they teach behavior modification. In other words, if you'll just try harder, you can quit sinning. Have you ever tried that? That's fun, isn't it? But the fact is, you can't. Only Jesus Christ, who has already won the victory over sin, which we'll see as we go through all of this, he's already fought the battle, he's already won. He'd been tempted in all points such as we are, yet without sin, and he lives inside of you and I, and he can win again and again and again and again. The problem is, so many Christians have come to the place of saying, well, I'm not really there yet, and that's probably true, right? Paul said, I haven't arrived. But with it, you can sense this excuse, I'll never be there. And that is not true. We can win the victory over sin. You don't have to have sin in your life. And we'll be looking at the scripture. We're not talking here about sinless perfection. I realize that there was a denomination, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about an incorruptible seed that lives inside of us that does not sin. It is the person of Jesus Christ that's the seed. And that seed is fighting against flesh and against all the demonic powers that are on the earth, all kind of encroachments, everything closing in on you. All kind of evil and darkness, and all of it's closing in. But we are the light. We have the light living inside of us. We have a seed in us that can win over everything. Nothing impossible then to us who believe. Okay, continuing on. Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. There's the whole thing right there. In one verse. God's going to do it. God is the victory. Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but of one. And to your seed, what's it say? Who is Christ? Any doubt who the seed is? Any doubt where our salvation is? Any doubt where our victory is? And everything else you need in life. See? He is the seed. Galatians 3:19. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions. Till the seed. When? Till the seed. Till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through the angels by the hands of a mediator. Galatians 3:28-29. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave or free, there is neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed. What did it say? Abraham's seed was Christ. Goes right back around where it started from. And heirs according to promise. I want to explain to you what the promise is. Now there is promise singular. And then there are promises over a 400 some promises. The promise is, I will be your God, you will be my people. I will live among you and be your God, and you will be my people. And it's repeated over and over in the Bible all the way to the end of the book of Revelation. So from beginning to end, it's, I will be your God and you will be my people. That's the promise. That's the reason why when Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit, he said, I'm going to go to the Father and I will send you the promise. Tarry in Jerusalem till you receive the promise. See? He didn't say promises. He said promise. That meant God dwelling among us. God being with us. God being upon us and in us. That's the promise. Okay? So, the promise contains all the promises. When I asked Jesse to marry me, first thing I said was, God has called me to the ministry. So the first thing you need to think about is, are you wanting to give your life to the ministry? Because if you're going to marry me, then there's no doubt about it, you're going to be in the ministry. Okay? And then I said, but I love you and I promise I will be a husband to you and I will take care of you. Now, I didn't say, I'll buy you a refrigerator. I'll buy you a washer and a dryer. I'll buy you a house. Why? because all that came with it. If I'm going to be this husband that I say I am, then whatever she needs, how do you even know what you're going to need until years later? But whatever it is, I have already promised to be her husband and to take care of her. See what I'm saying? So the promise takes in all the promises. And this whole thing that about the promise, all that God has promised is in Christ Jesus. And all the promises in Christ are what? Yea and amen. Yes. All the promise. I'm in Christ, Father. I see the promise. Can I have that? Yes. 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 100% of the time, it's yes. Why is that? If you understand the big picture, if you can see the big picture, okay, I'm going to expand you here, I'm going to stretch you. But when God blesses you, He's blessing Himself. Isn't that what Scripture says? If a husband blesses his wife, he is blessing himself. Now what it says in Ephesians? If you're loving your wife, then you're, in essence, loving yourself. Whatever God gives to you, He's actually giving, you're His creation. He made you. Otherwise, you'd still be dust. No, you wouldn't even be dust, because He made the dust to make man out of. So we'd be non-existent. So when God blesses you, He's blessing His creation and His new creation in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, He really enjoys doing that. Let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servants. Prosperity being that you have what you need when you need it. Hallelujah. Okay. 2 Timothy 2:8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. This seed has now been buried, and Jesus said, except a grain of seed fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it will bring forth much fruit. We are the fruit of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the seed. Amen? Mark 4, verses 30 and 32. Then He said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when it grows on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds of the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs, and shoots out large branches, so the birds of the air may nest under its shade. Starting with one seed, millions around the world. If you could just, for instance, just open your eyes to see China right now. And we don't know what the estimate is in Russia, but it is tremendous. In Syria, Iran, many of these places, revival is just going, going, going. This tree is getting really big fast, all with one seed. Amen? So it's the seed that is the kingdom. Amen. John 14:30. This is Jesus speaking. I will not talk with you much more, for the prince, evil genius, and ruler of the world is coming. He has no claim on me. He has nothing in common with me. There is nothing in me that belongs to him. He has no power over me. What's he saying? There's nothing of the seed of Satan in Jesus. Therefore, he had no power over him. If I don't have the seed of Satan, then he has no power. I saw a vision one time, and God was explaining to me about Jesus and the temptation in the wilderness and so forth. We'll get to that a little bit later. But I saw in the vision, I saw like a coffee cup and a handle in the hand. And it kept going up to the coffee cup and coming back off. And it just kept going back and forth like that. I said, Father, explain it to me. And he said, there was no if in Jesus. If you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you're the Son of God, cast yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple. If you're the Son. Jesus didn't have an if. And because he didn't have an if, no matter what Satan tried to put on him, it wouldn't stick. It don't stick to me. Are we tempted? Yes. But Jesus was tempted in all points such as we are, yet without sin. He did it. Now, okay, back to the positive-negative side of this thing. It was so important that Jesus be tested in the wilderness. The reason for that is that Adam faced three temptations. One for the spirit, one for the soul, and one for the body. Okay, so the food was good to eat, it was beautiful to look upon, and it will make you to be as God. Okay, so spirit, soul, and body. Okay, Jesus, because Adam failed in those three and brought sin into the whole world, Jesus had to pass those three tests. That's the reason why after he was baptized, it said he was led by the Spirit. You say, oh, I want to be led by the Spirit. Do you want to be led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested of the devil? Of course I do. I definitely do. Can you imagine how angry God would have been if Satan hadn't showed up that day? And the worst mistake Satan ever made was showing up that day, because he lost everything. Jesus won. It is written. It is written. It is written. See? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Amen? Jesus, all day, every day, was feeding the seed. You have to feed the seed. You have to feed the seed. You have to feed the seed. Now, if you're in evil, what do you have to do? You have to feed the seed. You have to have more evil and more evil and more evil. And it's ever increasing, right? If you want to be a good sinner, you've got to get out there and feed the seed. You've got to find meaner and more evil people and more crazy things to do. You have to feed the seed if the seed's going to grow. Otherwise, you're going to be a poor sinner. And if you want to be a good Christian, you have to feed the seed. But our victory isn't in our ability to not sin. It's in our ability to receive the victory. Feed the seed and you will win. Amen? Okay. There is nothing in me that belongs to Satan. Therefore, he has no power over me. John 12:28. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. So it's a spiritual, supernatural thing. I think I told you last month, we're really moving into this phase of the kingdom of God where your life is going to have to be supernatural. There was a time it was, you know, you could go to church, pray your prayers, give your offerings, and just pretty well live, you know, a normal life. That's all coming to an end. Okay? You're going to have to feed the seed. You're going to have to be supernatural people, able to do what you can't do. Luke 17:20-21. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here or see there.' For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you." The seed is in you. The kingdom is in you. You are the body of Christ. The seed of Christ is in you. The seed of Abraham, which is Christ, is in you. The seed of victory, the overcoming power, is in you. The kingdom is in you. Colossians 1:27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Glory being the recognizable reality of God's presence. Are able to feed the seed, and as the Word of God and the Spirit of God expands in us, then it doesn't matter where you go, people are going to feel God's presence. For different people, it's different distances. But I have people, or people come to my house, they'll say, "We can actually feel you, feel the Spirit of God a long way away, just coming up to your condo." You walk through Walmart, and kind of out of your peripheral vision, watch people watching you. You just walk through, and all these heads just keep, because there's a glory, there's something. If you can feel the presence of evil, they can feel the presence of Jesus Christ. Amen. So when I'm walking through a store, I'm not just there shopping. I'm walking through, and there are actually people will walk up to me and just start talking to me, maybe even telling me their problems. You know, it's great, and you just minister to them. You don't have to say a long prayer. Sometimes it's in the name of Jesus, be healed. Or you may have a word of wisdom or word of knowledge, whatever to bless them with, and go on your way. But people are going to feel your presence. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope that people all around you will come in contact with Jesus. Jesus said, "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." John 4:14. "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." So bubbling out of us, out of your belly, will flow rivers of living water, thus spake he of the Spirit. And so everywhere I go, I'm bubbling. The glory of God. The glory of God. The glory of God. It's fun. I think Christianity ought to be fun. No. We're not running around hiding from the enemy. We're defeating the enemy. We're healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, and raising the dead. Let's have fun at it. Amen? Hallelujah. John 6:68. But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." You have to feed the seed. Feed the seed with words of eternal life. Where else can we go? Go to Jesus. How are we going to minister to others? We have the words of eternal life. Jesus said, we read it already, "The words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. But the words you speak, they are spirit and they are life." And like I was telling some people here last week, the thing that we have to understand is that we can't continue small talk. And we can't just say what we want to say. You can't just say to somebody that cuts you off out on the road, "Why, you stupid idiot." What would you do if they instantly became a stupid idiot? Oh, go jump in the lake. Oh, I didn't mean that. If we're saying things we don't mean, it's a good thing we don't have power. If you have power, then you have to watch your words. Watch your words. Because what you say will happen. If you want to move in the power of God, save your words for power words, for love words, for faith words. Matthew 7:16, "You shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles?" Okay, we're going back now to Genesis 3:15. It's the seed that makes the difference. And I've heard old-time preachers say, "You know, so-and-so, they go out and they sin, they sow their wild oats, and then they pray for crop failure." The fact is, the wages of sin is death. Sin will kill you. I don't care who you are, sin will kill you. The wages of sin is death. You can't do anything about that. Either you repent and put it on the cross, or you suffer the consequences of it. We can choose how we want to sin, but we cannot choose the consequences. Right? So the seed's what makes the difference. Plant good seed, and then water that seed. Plant that seed Jesus, and then water the seed, because that's going to be the victory. Matthew 15:19. "For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornicators, thefts, false witness, blasphemies," and of course it goes on and on. Understand then that out of a bad seed comes bad fruit. Where's bad fruit come from? Bad seeds. Matthew 7:21. "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulterers, fornications, and murders." Matthew 6:10. "Your kingdom come." This is our prayer. Remember, we've been praying it over and over and over and over. "Your kingdom come," which is a seed that is expanding. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It's sent down from heaven. The seed is sent down from heaven, and it's growing. It's expanding. So keep praying, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Matthew 6:33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Seek first. Seek first the kingdom. Draw upon that seed. And then feed the seed and watch it grow. You'll have everything you need because God supplied. I can go anywhere and know that I have enough. And more than enough, by the way, which is also very nice. Okay, so where's our victory? John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That's the seed. John 1:14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Luke 8:11. "Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. The Word of God that became flesh and dwelt among us." This is the parable. 1 Peter 1:23, I quoted earlier. "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever." Now you have an eternal, incorruptible seed inside of you. 1 John 3, verses 5 through 9. And you know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Is that possible? Is the condition of no sin possible? He proved it. He proved it. I remember growing up in high school, and you know, the kids would say, well, everybody's allowed to have at least one sin. Where'd you read that in the Bible? Whoever abides in him does not sin. Now, it said he don't have sin. Now it's saying you don't have sin. Ooh. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Is that what it says? Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he, God, or Jesus, is righteous, and he who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Is that what it says? Looks like to me, I mean, that's kind of what it says. The reason why Jesus was manifest was to destroy the work of the devil, to drive out the bad seed, and to bring us then into holiness. Be holy, for I am holy. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. Wow. But you have to finish the sentence. For his seed, capital H, his seed remains in him. And he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Really interesting. I never heard anyone preach that, because they don't understand it. As if we don't understand it, just skip it. Well, we're not going to skip it. We're going to hit it. Okay? Now, this same John that wrote that, the same man in the same book, says if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, how can he say you can't sin, but if you sin, you have to confess your sin? It's not saying you can't sin. It's saying Jesus can't sin. And he lives in you. If you want to have victory over sin, every time you're tempted, call on Jesus. That's the way I do it. A thought or an image or a picture comes up. I don't let 5 seconds go by. And I say, Jesus, I need your help here. Jesus. Or like they're teaching the kids, just say no. And I'll just shout at him, no, I'm not receiving you. Jesus, I call upon you. You're my Savior. I'm not going to neglect so great a salvation as this. I want every piece of salvation that's available for every human being on the earth. And the only way I'm going to get it is through Jesus Christ. And he comes and he helps me. If I don't call on him, I wander off into bad places, bad thoughts, bad stuff in my spirit. So I've learned, don't let it stay. I have an incorruptible seed, and I can feed the seed, and I can beat the sin. So that there's nothing in me that belongs to Satan, and he has no power over me. Look what it says in Romans 9:29. And as Isaiah said before, unless the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed, we would have become like Sodom, and we would have been like Gomorrah. What's our salvation? The seed. If it wasn't for the seed, if it wasn't for Jesus, we would be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Now let's reverse it. If I have the seed, I don't have to be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen? Romans 7, 19 and 20. One of the most misused verses in the Bible. For the good that I will do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Thing I want to do, I don't do. And thing I don't want to do, I end up doing. Okay, we're in this perplexity. And it's just the way of life. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's not what the verse is saying at all. Okay? What the verse is saying is that it doesn't matter how much you try not to sin, you're going to end up sinning. And it doesn't matter how much good you try to do for the kingdom of God. We're talking about real fruit bearing here. No matter how you try to be, I mean, you can be a nice Christian, but I'm talking about really bearing fruit where Christ is emanating from you and affecting other people and they're being born again and, you know, the love, the joy, the peace, all of that. Okay, so you try to do the good and you try not to do the bad and neither one of them work. That's what Paul's trying to tell you. They won't work. The problem is the preachers that preached it never finished the verse, never finished the chapter. Who will deliver me? You mean there's deliverance? Thank God through Jesus Christ. There is an answer. It's not just a perplexity. There is an answer. You don't have to live in sin. You don't have to allow sin in your life. And you don't have to do Christianity on your own strength. Feed the seed and it'll just flow out of you. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Eternal life just flowing out, flowing out, flowing out. So, rather than trying to do good and trying not to do evil, feed the seed and watch what happens. Verse 25 there, 7:25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And the wages of sin is death. Okay? And so what we have to overcome is not only the stuff that's coming in. See, we pick up on evil by our senses, actually, by our five senses. But there's something else. There's the old Adam nature that just keeps pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling. How are we going to defeat that? Or can we? Maybe we never will. Yes, we will. Through Jesus Christ. We can actually live in holiness and emanate the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the fullness of the Spirit for the blessing of others. We don't have to live in sin. We don't have to be trapped by it. Okay? 1 Corinthians 10:13, we'll end there for tonight. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful. Here's your answer. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted. And remember, temptation is not sin. It's when you start to contemplate the possibility that it becomes sin. It will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So, what's he talking about here? He's saying, I have put everything inside of you that you need to be victorious over sin. I'm not testable. But God has put an incorruptible seed inside of me. And that understanding sanctification, it starts in your spirit, goes through your soul, even affecting your body, your household, your church, your state, your nation, and the world. Okay. Sanctification starts in, sin starts out here and comes in. Sanctification starts here and it goes out. If we're being tempted or we're being tested, what's being tested? Well, if we're not testable, it has to be the seed that's being testable. It has to be the Word of God that's being testable. It has to be the Holy Spirit that's being testable. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding is being testable. Truth, that's being testable. All of this is being tested inside of us. So God, seed, is defeating the seed of Satan by trumping on him. Peace is putting Satan underfoot. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So my feet are shod with the preparation, the gospel, the good news, the death, the burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now the heel of Jesus is bruising the head of Satan and defeating and destroying him. But he's lifting you up. He's making you to be an overcomer, more than conqueror through Jesus Christ. If you understand the principle of the seed, you'll never hang your head again. You'll never have to. Let God do in you what he wants to do, and that is defeat evil. Let's go back to the great big picture. In Isaiah 45, God said, I created good and I created evil. I created calamity. God created both of them. Maybe he even created Lucifer. Of course he did. And so this is God's battle. Seed against seed. It's seed against seed. It's God against the serpent. It's God against the devil. You think he'll win? You think he'll win in your life? Are you confident enough that you can tell someone else you don't have to live in sin any longer? Jesus Christ can forgive you. He can set you free. And he can deliver you from sin. It's seed against seed. It's Jesus Christ against the devil. And that's his rec room. Amen? He's doing a good job. He's come to seek and to save that which is lost. So feed the seed, be strengthened with all might by the Holy Spirit in the inner man. Okay? Pray in the Spirit, be in the Word of God. Don't let days go by, but what you're feeding the seed with the Word of God. Now, get in and read. Sometimes we're kind of pressed for time. I know I've shared this with you. I love good devotionals. I love good Christian books. But if I have to make a choice between a good Christian book and the Bible, I'm going to read the Bible. Because that's what feeds the seed. If I want victory in my life, I have to be in the Word of God. If I'm going to minister to people with power, I have to be in the Word of God. And I have to pray in the Spirit, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And that feeds the seed. Keep feeding the seed. But all I want you to do tonight is get the revelation of this. Okay? And then later on, we'll take on the bigger concept. So I want you to see the big picture. If you ever see the big picture, you'll never fear again. You'll never doubt again. No. Fact is, you'll never be hesitant again about obeying God, about doing what He wants you to do. Jesus never hesitated. He did what the Father was doing. He said, I do what I see my Father do. What we're learning is act quickly when God shows you something. Don't question it. And you'll see miracles. And you'll see salvation. And you'll see the glory of God. We can't just wander around on the earth. It's time for the body of Christ to rise up. The glory of the Lord's going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, we come. Water the seed, Father. Paul plants, Apollos waters, but God gives the increase. Spirit of the living God, I set this people totally and completely free by the authority of Jesus Christ. I set you free from everything that has held you back, everything that has caused you to doubt or to fear. Everything that has caused you to reason, you can cast down reasoning and receive the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of God. Get the revelation of Jesus Christ and be filled with the Spirit now. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.